This show is a proud member of the Nerdy Legion Podcast Network. Get more at nerdylegion.com. Enjoy the show!
Spoiler alert! What Did You Watch This Week is a candid discussion about recent movies and TV shows, and it may contain spoilers if you haven't watched them yet. Listen at your own risk.
Welcome to episode 260 of What Did You Watch This Week? My name is Mike.
My name is John.
Wow. What's up, friend?
Oh, not a whole heck of a lot. How about yourself?
Yeah, about the same.
As we were talking about before the podcast, my brain's been kind of in house hunting, apartment hunting mode.
Mm-hmm.
Watching the world slowly wake up around us. More and more people are getting vaccinated. I don't know if you noticed this. I'm sure you did pick up on it, but the Gardner Hannaford has peeled up all of their floor stickers showing you which direction to walk down the aisles.
And yeah, I noticed.
They no longer have the guy standing there like, okay, you can go down to number six.
And that happened Easter weekend.
Ah.
Where the because people are queuing up in line still to be told where to go, and they had taken the barrier down, and the guy's like, "Hey, yeah, we're not doing that anymore." And everyone's just like, "Well, you got us trained to do this. I mean, this seemed more right? like it actually seemed more efficient, and I waited less in line.
Yeah,
when I queued up, like, and I was down by the milk, and next thing I know, I'm at a register cashing out as opposed to now. So
yeah, I loved it. I wish they had continued on with that.
Me too. And it's funny is you can see how worn out the floor is from where the line was. Because it's been a year of this line, people queuing up to the same line and not walking where the barricades were. And they're all walking in the same. And you can see how worn the path on the floor is from that. It's hilarious, actually.
Yeah, it is.
But yeah, I saw they peeled up the stickers, and I'm wondering when they're going to take the signs down at the top of the aisles. That say enter exit on them.
Right.
So,
but they're gone. I think now the one on Witten Road still has all of their stickers and still has all their signs and everything like that. I don't think they're still doing the guided queues, but
I don't know if maybe Augusta has different guidelines than Gardner.
Maybe, or it could be like by store, like the store managers were given the approval to do it if they wanted.
Yeah. So. But otherwise, you know, it's all good in the hood, right?
For the most part, yeah, the weather's been good. We had that quote unquote winter storm that amounted to jack and shit.
They did get some snow north of us. You know, but we got nothing.
Actually, yeah, Julia mentioned that up in Plymouth where she lives, she's like, yeah, we had snow. It'll be gone by the time I get home. But we had snow that sat on the ground. So,
and it was cold. But it wasn't that cold, I guess.
No, it really wasn't like it was chilly enough that I needed to wear a jacket, but it was not winter cold.
Oh, yeah. Definitely not winter cold. So. Anyhow, I watched some shows and stuff this week. Did you?
I watched some shows and some movies and.
I got a couple movies under my belt.
Yeah. Not a lot of news this week.
No, I don't have any news. I got a couple. I think I shared a trailer with you.
Yeah. And other than that, I shared like four with you.
Yeah.
But yeah. And then news, I've got like two little tiny items and they're like tiny. So
what are they? Let's break up the order. What's the news?
Sure. Lou Diamond Phillips told a reporter recently that he has been given the call to ask if he's interested in working on Young Guns 3.
I was hoping you were going to say that for some reason.
So
nice.
Interesting. Yeah. And the other one was, I called it The Rookie versus Real Crime. The headline says The Rookie set becomes crime scene after gunshots fired while Nathan Fillion films episode. The suspects are at large and their motives are unknown, although TMZ, who first reported the story, are speculating without evidence that the suspects may have believed that the actors were real police officers and fired on them. The shots reportedly hit a building near the set location and no one was injured.
Well, that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Well, you know, not really, but you know. So I did Google Young Guns 3 and I did find Emilio Estevez saying, yeah, it's definitely in the works. I drive a lot and I spend a lot of time in the Midwest. People tell me we haven't seen you on screen for a while. Come back. And we'd like to see you in the movies again. We'd like to see you play Gordon Bombay. We'd love to see you play Billy the Kid. So I felt like we've ticked one box. We're working on ticking the other. The kid is a fun character to play. There's a lot of speculation about what happened that night in 1881 in Fort Sumter, New Mexico. Did he die? Did he not? And so there's a lot of mythical, historical, and actual, some factual things we can examine if we're serious about going back to the franchise as well. So that was a lot more in detailed response from Emilio Estevez than I would expect.
Yeah.
I don't know him personally, but just based on the movies I've seen him in.
I don't know him personally. Emilio!
Now all I can think of is the movie Men at Work when he makes the mistake of taking you know who I'm talking about. You've seen that movie, haven't you, Men at Work? Emilio Estevez. I've seen Men at Work
a million times.
Yeah, you know who I'm talking about.
I need more than
it's not Tony Todd. What is the guy's name?
David Keith?
David Keith, when he goes to take one of David Keith's French fries, and David Keith grabs his wrist and tells him, "Don't you fuck another man? Don't fuck with another man's fries."
we actually had a spirited discussion the other night about French fries. We rolled up on Wendy's at the end of the night because I needed some food, and they were closing up. But
they used to be the best fries, and now they're not.
Well, I got a small fry and Julia was eating and she's like, I like of all the fast food fries, I like these the best. She goes, Burger King has great fries. McDonald's fries suck. And I was like,
what is wrong with your girlfriend?
I said, I noticed one suspicious missing element from your list and that's Arby's with curly fries. And she's like, I don't think I've ever had them. And I was like, well, Wednesday, no matter what, we are going to try some Arby's curly fries so that you can add them to your list and see where they fall compared to these other ones.
Well, I don't know how she can say McDonald's are the worst. I mean, I'm not saying like that's the best thing at McDonald's is their French fries.
Yeah, but I mean, still, they're very thin and they're not that salty.
Just add salt. See, I used to like Burger King's fries have never been anything for me. Like matter what style they had, they never did anything. I prefer Burger King's burgers over McDonald's, hands down. McDonald's burgers are just a joke to me. Any type of burger you ever get there, whether it be Big Mac, Quarter Pounder, McDouble, whatever, it's just no. Wendy's, I enjoy their burgers. A lot. I kind of wish they toasted their buns and melted the cheese, but whatever. Still great burgers. But Burger King really like their burgers. Wendy's fries back probably more than 10 years ago now, before they went to their natural cut fries, when they just had their they were the best fries, period, hands down, no arguments, the best. So,
okay.
That's just me. But now, really, Chick-fil-A's waffle fries are the absolute bomb diggity best.
Interesting.
Yep, they are.
I think I've had them that one time with you, and they were good. They were tasty.
Of course, they're not fast food, but Five Guys fries are better than all of them.
Five Guys does make a really good fry, especially when you remind them that they need to put in the topper.
Yep. Any hue?
Mm.
Let's talk about our shows and stuff.
Now that we've got the news out of the way.
Man. You watch This Is Us?
Yeah, and apparently it's not the season finale.
No, there's a few more episodes.
Weird though, IMDb only had listed up through number 13. So I thought that was the season finale. But then when I went to check, because I'm like, this is not a season finale. It can't be. And I went and checked, and they were like, episode 14. Do you know what this is about? Please enter some description. I'm like, okay. What'd you think? Well,
all right. So I really – this was the Kevin and Randall show. Mm-hmm. Okay. So this is Kevin and Randall, where Kevin shows up, and they immediately skip the pleasantries and just go right to – the heat of the moment, and they have a discussion, and we get to see flashbacks to Jack taking Kevin and Randall to the Mr. Rogers Neighborhood Show in Pittsburgh,
which is kind of neat. That was awesome.
Yeah. And then we get to see Randall visiting Kevin in LA when Randall's in college and Kevin's struggling. Mm-hmm. And we just get to see the three tiers of essentially what's going on. And just really to sum it up, Kevin was always jealous of Randall. Because Randall was got more attention. His mind got more attention from their parents, was smarter than him, you know, and I guess resented him for being black for some reason. I gathered that's what it was, but whatever. And then Randall had issues because even when he daydreamed about his fake black family, which was the library lady and the weatherman, His white family, if you will, were still there. And right. He always dreamed about them. Like he, even as an adult, once he learned about his dad and his birth mom, he still dreamt about being a child with the weatherman and the librarian. And, you know, his other family was there, except at the very end of the episode where he has a dream about his mom and dad, who are his mom and dad.
Right.
It's a big, I love you, man moment at the end where they say some very touching and emotional things to each other and hug each other and cry. And that's the episode. It's just, I mean, did you get more than that out of it?
No. And that's why, like I said, I was confused at first thinking this is not a season finale episode.
No.
Like this is a, the brothers, you know, that was it. Yeah. Everything about them, everything that we've seen. It was just, here's the different ways that they have fucked each other over, hated each other, and then loved each other because, you know, the end.
So this is going to be 16 episodes, by the way.
Okay. So officially 16. So next week is 14, or this week here is 14.
Yeah. So there's three episodes left. But yeah, this is going to be 16 episodes.
Okay.
Because of COVID, so.
Right. Which is still better than I thought we were getting.
Yep. So let's see here.
Yeah, I'm looking at my notes and I'm trying to come up with something better, but I really just don't have anything.
I mean, that was the episode. It wasn't a bad episode. It was what it was. It's a story they needed to tell so they could move on in the season, basically.
Yep.
What'd you think of Zoe's Extraordinary Playlist?
You mean Zoe's Extraordinary Mystery?
Yes.
Good of them to keep it fresh, you know?
Yep.
To kind of freshen things up it was interesting. I know with this show that you have to kind of suspend a lot of logic.
She sees people doing song and number dances, and while everyone else sees them just acting normal, or in her mind, minutes have passed, and then it's really only seconds in the real world. So there's a lot of suspension and disbelief in this, and I'm okay with it.
I'm okay with it too. This one, there was a lot because she was crossing wires with songs. So like she was getting a heart song from this person who was singing a song that actually belonged to this other person, and in some cases it was somebody who she hadn't even met yet, like his son.
Everyone was singing different people's songs.
Yep.
And I gotta say it was entertaining, but when you get down to the heart of the matter, once Zoe figures out
get down to the heart of matter.
I mean, it's a good song. Once Zoe figures out that Emily is singing what she described as the most depressingly painful, I like how she calls them heart songs. Heart song she's ever heard. And she goes and talks to Emily, and Emily starts singing some happy upbeat song, but with a very sad face. And then Zoe grabs her and says, I'm listening to you. And then she starts to sing her really sad, depressing song. Ripped my heart out. Holy cow.
Absolutely. Oh, yeah.
I mean, the postpartum.
That was brutal.
Yeah, the postpartum depression that she's clearly suffering, like, oof, that was brutal. Like you said, that was brutal.
Yeah, it really made you feel, because this whole time, you know, you pick up on it, but you don't pick up on it, because she's like, you know, oh, Emily sent me this. Oh, she's sending me a video of a penguin licking a thing, or, you know.
Yeah. Do I want these clothes? Why would I want these clothes?
Right.
Yeah.
And then, when she was like, I'm listening to you, and she just starts singing that song. Oh, it was brutal. It was rough.
Yeah, Matt, it was the song Anyone.
Yep.
A heartfelt, deeply sad song that indicates he's struggling on a real emotional level, except he doesn't, because he's like, no, I'm happy as hell with this girl.
Yeah.
And when Emily sings Anyone later on. Yes. When Emily sings Anyone later on, it's just like we said, like I said, oh
yeah.
The ham. So
yeah. Rosanna was hesitant to tell Max that she's sober because, you know, that's the way of saying it. You know, she's like, I've had problems in my past, and, you know, the past few years haven't been all sunshine and roses, and basically was hesitant to tell him about it because she didn't want to be judged. And I get it.
Yeah. Yeah. I got to go back and listen to the Demi Lovato version, because that's the song that she was singing. I just looked it up because I want to hear if Demi sings it as powerfully, emotionally heart-wrenching as Emily did.
Right.
So. I did watch episode 2, and I haven't watched episode 3 yet, of the Law and Order Organized Crime. And I enjoy it. I'm enjoying the story we're seeing, but it's not going to last because it's not your stereotypical Law and Order format. Gotcha. It's all the whole, there's no order. There's just law. So there's no court stuff going on. The whole episode is just Elliot, you know, working on a case. In fact, the first 2 episodes are the same case. So it's not like he's even, you know, it's not a case an episode like they do on the other shows.
Gotcha.
So it'll be interesting to see if people keep watching it, or if they're like, it's not like Law and Order.
Yep.
Because people don't like things that are different. But Criminal Intent typically didn't have much to do with the order side of it. It was just his unique way of interrogating people and getting them to confess. And, you know, and that did last quite a while. Of course, they had to break it up so that they had 2 sets of detectives and they alternated episodes. So.
What was I gonna say?
Sticking with NBC.
Yep.
Young Rock.
Yeah. So this was the first week when I kind of felt what you were saying, where it was like, oh, if this wasn't a wrestling show, I wouldn't like it as much. I didn't dislike it, but it definitely, like, the gimmick this week with everybody in Philly being pissed off because he bought a Philly cheesesteak without the bread because he got it protein style, and they're like, oh, the bread's what makes it, and like they were all protesting him. So he's like, no, here, I got to tell you a story about, you know, and it was all about coming clean with Lisa and finding out she had a twin sister, and then finally coming clean,
which, by the way, was hilarious.
It was.
That was the funniest part, where Lisa opens the door and she's like, and the girl just looks at him and goes, it's 6:30 in the morning. What are you doing here so early? He's like, I just want to apologize. Da, da, da. You're not answering my calls. Blah, 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 blah. Lisa, it's for you. And she walks away. And then Lisa walks up. And I'm like, well, that's funny. I wonder if that was actually true, because that would be hilarious.
Right. And is that actress actually a twin, or was she just playing one on TV?
I was wondering the same thing. So. But it was what it was.
Yeah. it wasn't bad. It just, I was like, okay, you know, it didn't wow me. It didn't blow me away.
Nope, me neither.
Well, there, we're in agreement there.
I'll keep watching it though.
Yep.
You know, yep.
I'll just, I like it.
Yeah, I'll just keep watching it. I mean, I don't hate it by any means.
Yeah.
Debris.
Oh, Debris.
But I did watch. I caught up.
So you watched the one from last week and then from this week?
Yeah, I watched the two episodes. I watched the one I missed and I watched the most recent one that we would talk about. Yeah.
It actually works out well for you because, you know, the week before was where he finally came clean with her and was like, hey, we know your dad's alive.
Yes.
And then this week we got to see the full continuation of that.
Yeah. And they were in Maine.
Yeah. How'd you like that?
I thought that was fun.
Dude, this show is so X-Files. It's not even funny.
Yep. It is. It really is. And I'm just curious where it's going to go.
I dig it so hard, but continue.
No, that's it. I'm just curious where it's going to go. I mean, we both felt the same way about Fringe when it started. And then that took a fucking hard turn on us. And my cat is not leaving me alone. I don't know what you want. You have food. You have water. You have a clean litter box. God, just patted you on the couch for like an hour.
She just wants to be a cat, man.
I had to take the lint roller and clean my pants off after. But Fringe took such a hard turn. It was just like, oh, okay. But I like that he came clean with her.
Yes.
And I like that there was a little they had issues with each other, but they're gonna work through and be a good solid team.
Yeah.
Yep. So, but yeah, no, I'm enjoying the hell out of this show.
And we've got the simultaneous, like, his people are searching her apartment. And she's like, yeah, my boss told me that your boss has done some shady shit. And he's like, I'm not going to believe that. Not until you can prove it. Then we see that her boss is manipulating her sister into getting her to come back. Mm-hmm. So who's the real shady shit?
Everybody's shady with everybody.
Yep.
And I think at the end, that's what it's going to be. But Fanola and Brian are going to be honest with each other.
Which is great. I'm glad that they do that, which we wanted from the beginning anyway.
Yep. Yes, but that's what I've kind of wanted. I wanted them to be good partners that trusted each other. I didn't want the underhandedness and the sneakiness and all that stuff. So.
Exactly.
But yeah, I don't think it's been renewed for a second season yet. It's got pretty good, strong ratings, pretty good response there on Rotten Tomatoes. So I'm hoping we get another season out of it, but I don't. What I really want to see is shows that have strong laid out stories so that they know where they're going instead of just going season to season and just trying to figure shit out. You know what I mean? Because it loses its steam. I would rather get 5 solid good seasons of a show that has a nice good finale than 15 seasons of a show that should have ended at season 5. Supernatural.
I knew exactly where you were going as soon as I heard 15.
Yeah. You know, like that's what I want. Mm-hmm. I don't, because think about how much does a show tarnish how much you liked it as when it goes on too long and it ends shitty. Arrow.
Yeah.
Flash. That's where it's headed.
Uh-huh.
And even though it didn't last as many seasons, Grimm.
Mm-hmm.
I've been rewatching Grimm occasionally, you know, not just when I have time, I'll watch an episode. I'm only like 4 episodes in now, but about 1 a week essentially. Mm-hmm. And I just remember like how much I really enjoyed these early episodes and then thinking about how season like what the Juliet. There we go. I was thinking Juliet, but that's your girlfriend, so I know that's not her. How Juliet's character played out, how much it kind of pissed me off. And then how I actually really liked the relationship between Adelaide and Nick near the end. And then how they fucking jumped the shark in like episode 12 of season 6 and killed everybody just to bring them all back at the beginning of episode 13 and da, 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 da. So, anyhow, yeah, I just, shows can do that, and I don't want to see that happen to Debris. I want to have him see a good, solid story that makes sense, even if we only get a season or two.
Agreed.
I like it, Life. Remember Life? We got two solid seasons of Life. They ended season one and season two like it was wrapped up just in case they didn't get renewed or something happened. And unfortunately, the end of season two got canceled. But you can go back and watch both seasons of that show and be very satisfied.
Mm-hmm. I would agree with that.
You know, so.
Yep.
Oh, let's see. We talked about This Is Us. We talked about Zoe. We talked about Young Rock. We talked about Debris.
Oh, I'll tell you, New Amsterdam this week.
Oh, sure. There we go.
VJ is now officially off the show, but it was all done off screen. Oh. So I don't know if like the actor just isn't coming back or what, but basically like Iggy took it very personally and he's like leaving him all these messages on his answering machine, like screaming at him. He's like, we're friends and you can't just not show up to work and blah, blah. I had this whole party planned for you to come back and blah, blah, blah. And finally he gets a call from
the girl.
Yeah, the girl. And she's like, hey, his doctor told him he couldn't work anymore. And he said, no, I'm going to work. And then he tried to that first day and he couldn't even get out of the house. He was so like wrecked. She's like, he can't do this and it's killing him inside. And so you need to back the fuck off. So basically, he's not going to be back. He was done. He was shunted off screen. And
yeah,
that was. Okay. That was that. So now Dr. Helen is left and VJ.
Oh, Dr. Helen left?
Yeah, that was last episode, I think. She basically she was having some really hard times with the racial stuff that Max was talking about and trying.
I remember that. I just didn't know she left.
Yeah, I think it was actually this episode. She made the decision that her niece. Okay, so her brother died and she took in her niece. She's like, come over here. But her niece is like an adult, you know, she's like 18 years old or something like that, or 16. And you know, the girl was going out on the town and she's like, you know, I need to be around and I need to, family's most important. So she's getting done at the hospital so that she can spend time with the family. So yeah.
So he's losing like his staff.
Yeah. And well, and then for Max, his daughter got kicked out of the daycare program because she keeps biting people. And he was like, look, I need the daycare program. You can't kick her out. And they're like, yeah, we can. And he's like, this is my hospital. They're like, we don't care. It's our program. And he's like, no. And so she basically told him, yeah, we're kicking your daughter out. She can't come back. She's had three strikes. And so he tried a couple different things, you know, here, give her to my assistant, do this, do this. And in the end, it was he's realizing he can't do this all on his own. So he's got to ask the grandmother and the grandfather to, you know, come and babysit her since they're all retired and rich.
Maybe Max just has to leave the hospital and then they cancel the show.
Yeah.
Yeah, keep going.
The big story this week was they brought back the old director of the hospital from back in the day. Mm-hmm. And his big thing was that, you know, they survived the AIDS crisis. And then they uncovered this big mystery where it turns out that there was this one gay man activist who hated New Amsterdam at the time because they wouldn't treat gay men. They let them die in the corner and, you know, nobody would touch them. And you remember that. We grew up in that.
Yeah, we did. Yeah.
And so they found out that there was a ton of blood that was donated by that guy, like more than he could humanly donate was donated by that guy back in the day. So they went to ask him about it. And he's like, fuck you. I wouldn't have given any blood to New Amsterdam. Go fuck themselves. So the technician who was running the blood bank at the time is now dying. He's got like stage 3 cancer or something like that. And Max went to talk to him and he's like, yeah, because even they wouldn't take blood donations from gay men, even if they were clean, even if they had completely clean records, they wouldn't take blood donations. He's like, so you're goddamn right. I took all that blood and I put it under this guy's name because he was an inspiration because he was fighting back against this kind of stuff.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Cool.
Yep.
Are you watching Lois and Superman at all? Superman and Lois, whatever the show's called.
No, it's still on hiatus.
Oh, that's right, because Supergirl's back. Disregard.
Yep.
The Rookie. Loved it.
Yeah, which one was this one?
Man of Honor.
This was the first day of, yeah.
Yep, Man of Honor.
Now, okay, loved it, but you want to talk about suspending some disbelief. First off, Mike, how long have you been in law enforcement?
20 years.
Okay.
Jesus, that's scary.
Do you believe that a seasoned detective would put two patrol officers in charge of a candy bar on the sidewalk?
No, even if they were rookies, he wouldn't do that.
No, he wouldn't say. No.
And yeah, don't let it melt.
Yeah, the ERT is, 30 minutes out. They got stuck in traffic. Yeah. So don't let it melt and hold it here. It might be from him. No, somebody would have bagged it. Officers have bags that they can bag stuff with, especially something like that that's going to get ants on it, DNA. Somebody's going to kick it down the street. Like, no, that was ridiculous.
So remember how last week's episode was awesome, Amber, and it was really realistic?
Yeah.
This week's episode, I loved the title story, Man of Honor, but this week's episode is right back into,
ridiculous.
Ridiculousness, yes. Yeah. With them uncovering a kidnapping ring and murder and all this other crap, forcing them to make burglaries and da 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 da.
Dude, the woman, the whole part there where they caught the woman and they were like, we know that you're in trouble. We know they have your daughter. And she's like, okay, I remember we went over two potholes and we took a left and we did it. Like, they found that house like that.
Yep.
Based on her expert testimony of exactly where the vehicle had come from. That was ridiculous.
It was. It was massively ridiculous, but it was. I enjoyed the episode as a whole.
Oh yeah, it was still entertaining as fuck.
It's the rookie's first days of actual officers, except Nolan, of course. So West and his family celebrate, and Chen's mother basically accuses her of, "Are you done wasting your time and pretending? Let's go do something real now."
Yeah.
Nolan seems to get more action with his training partner than West and Chen do on their first day as P2s. Mm-hmm. But the big story is, Angela. Angela is having a massive meltdown and texts Bradford 911 and gives him an address. And so he goes steaming over there. He's on his day off. He goes steaming over there and he walks into this bridal shop. And I like how he describes Angela. I wish I would have written it down, but it wasn't like, is Angela, whatever her last name is here. He's like, Lopez. Yeah. He's like, looking for blah, blah, Latina girl, pregnant, probably angry as hell or something like that. Oh yeah. She's back there.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then he sits down and helps her pick out a dress and does this, does that. And he's like, will you be my man of honor? And he's like, sure thing. So I don't know. I kind of liked it. Bradford needs something to do now. He's not training anyone.
Right.
That's what it was. It opened up with him and it looked like he was barking orders at a new boot, but he was talking to a dog, his dog. Yeah.
Yep. It was great.
So,
but he did a good job as now the man of honor. And I love when he had to fire the former maid of honor. And she's like, no, I'm busy. I got to go do this. And he's like, oh, I can't believe you're doing this, you coward. And then he tells the woman, she's like, oh, thank God. Here.
Yeah.
Here's the Patrice phone and the Patrice book. And
And everyone's so afraid to not do what Patrice wants and this and that. And finally, he's like, it's not her wedding. It's your wedding. So he burns everything. Mm-hmm. And I like it when she threw the phone and he's like, that's got a lithium battery. That'll explode. The next episode is called New Blood. So I'm wondering if we're going to see new boots come in for Bradford and wouldn't be Lopez, but if we're going to see any new boots come in.
I hope.
Cause there hasn't been any yet.
Right.
Just.
Yeah. It's almost like the Maine State Police.
Yeah, exactly. So, but anyways, it's a fun show. I enjoy it. Still do.
Yep. Yep.
Invincible.
Yeah.
This was the first kind of we've had one major backstory, which was Nolan. Is it Nolan? No.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is.
Yep. Omni-Man. Yeah,
when he murdered the Guardians and they're trying to figure that out. And it seems like now even the head guy of the agency that has the Guardians, we know he killed them. Omni-Man killed them, but we're trying to figure out why.
Yeah. So they tried to get him off planet to do that.
Yeah. And instead, his son goes and accompanies them on their mission to Mars. And there's Martians that live underground, but there's these weird, almost alien-like brain beings. And of course, one of the astronauts is taken over by one, but they don't know it. So there's like a pretend one that's heading back, or maybe it was a shape-shifting one. Maybe it's one of the Martians that shapeshifted to look like him because they can shapeshift.
Right.
But we'll see. So that's kind of the major story we got going on this. I enjoy the cartoon as a whole. This felt like a really long episode, though, as far as like story wise.
Yeah. Yeah. It kind of dragged on for a bit there.
Yep.
And what do you think? What do you think Robot's doing with what's his name there? I want to say Max Blast. It's not that. Because he took something from him. Did he take like a sample, a DNA sample, or
from what? Rex?
Rex. There you go. Rexplode.
Yeah, he took a DNA sample from Rex at the end.
Yeah, and he also, we saw that he's the one that orchestrated the release of the Mahler twins, which are actually, they clone each other. They clone themselves into making another twin each time. Now he's taken a sample from Rex. You know, what is Robot's big plan?
I don't know. So from what I gather, Robot is he's a genetic cybernetic extension of Rudy Connors, right? That's what we learn.
Yep.
And he looks like he broke out the Mahler twins to clone him a new body.
So maybe he's borrowing different superpowered genetics.
Maybe. Give make himself, himself better? That could possibly be it, yeah.
Yeah, maybe he wants to make himself a perfect version, so he wants Rex's powers, and or maybe he wants to look like Rex. I don't know.
I don't know either, perhaps. But anyways, that was excellent. Was it Max? Is that his name? Mark. Jeez, I'm Crow.
Mark.
No, yep. Mark's is the last name. Yeah, so Mark, yeah. Mark's girlfriend there, he almost wants to tell her about him being invincible, and then last minute decides not to, and says he's got to go to town for 2 weeks to volunteer, and evidently she's cool with that, and comes home early, and then, yeah, it's...
Eve basically told Mark, she's like, it's a big decision. Once you tell somebody, you can't go back. You can't
untell them. Yeah.
Yeah.
So... we shall see, I guess, what happens with that.
Yeah.
We watched Falcon and the Winter Soldier, episode 5, we have to talk about. We also have to talk about, the Connors was good. There, I'm done. nice. Them and the Nevers.
Yep.
And that's it, correct?
No, Staged. We watched the last two episodes of Staged.
Oh, okay, I'm like, I know we watched something else. All right, Staged.
I'm still watching Prodigal Son, and it's still great, honestly.
What did you think of the final two episodes of Staged?
You know, I hate to say it, but I'm glad that it's over.
Me too.
Like, it's not a bad show.
Wasn't as good as the first season.
Correct.
Yeah. You know, we find out in these last two episodes that Phoebe Waller-Bridge and Cate Blanchett are going to play David and Michael.
Yeah.
In the new series. Simon's been kicked loose because he can't write for girls. He's out as well.
Yep.
Phoebe hates David because this is the best part.
The story. The story
on Broadchurch, he basically created a Pavlov effect where he had a tone sound on his phone, and every time she had to go to the bathroom, he would make the tone go off. And then essentially he just got to the point where the tone would go off on his phone and she would have to go to the bathroom. And so the tone went off so many times that she kept missing scenes. They had to write her out of scenes, and finally they just wrote her off the show, and they had a nickname for her, like the Lou. She was not reliable.
The Lou Recluse.
The Lou Recluse, yeah. And she was not reliable because of him.
Yeah, so she lost jobs because of
him. Yep. This. And he's like, well, what about Fleabag? I had to create a show to get myself back on the scene. And I thought it was so funny. And she goes through this whole story, and she's pissed off and yelling at him. And finally, they're going to read some pages. And then the tone goes off on his phone, and he picks up to check the message. And she's like, fuck you, and gets up and walks away.
It was so great.
That was the best part, I think, of the whole season, is you had that huge setup and then an immediate payoff and her reaction to it. I loved it. We got to see them and meet each other in person. Finally, David was on set to record for a show, and his wife came to visit. And then Michael and his wife showed up because they were going to the airport. So they stopped in to see him, and we got to see them see each other distantly in person with their masks on.
Yep.
So.
Yay.
Yeah. But yeah, if we didn't get a third season, I wouldn't care.
No. The first season was great. The second season was, okay.
Yep.
I think I'm all set now. Mm-hmm.
So
we got the Nevers, we've got Falcon and the Winter Soldier, we've got them.
The Nevers. What did you think of the first episode?
I thought it had a lot in it. This was originally a full-on Joss Whedon project, and this is the one that he
stepped out of.
Mm-hmm. And I still don't know 100% if it was because he was overwhelmed or he just wanted to get away, or because all the stuff that's being leveled at him.
All the accusations, yeah.
Right. But it definitely, I could see some of his trappings in here, you know, throwing us right into a world where, you know, shit's going down. The only superpowered people in this world are the women.
No, the doctor, the male doctor.
Right.
He's touched.
Right. But they make that whole thing. They make that whole speech with those guys that are sitting around, and they're talking about how, you know, it only seems to be affecting the women, and the women are the most susceptible and blah, blah, blah. You know, they found a way to get at us through our women, whatever's doing this. I didn't dislike it, but it definitely wasn't anything that I was like, yes, I can't wait to watch more of this.
I felt like it just dragged too long.
Yes,
they told.
When I saw 1 hour and 3 minutes, I was like, oh, I already don't want to commit to this.
They told way too much story in this first episode, where it felt like more of a movie that didn't have a proper ending.
Yeah. Like you had to stop partway through the movie.
Yeah, exactly. I'm not saying I disliked it, but at the same time, like you said, there was nothing that made me go, man, I cannot wait to watch episode 2. And if anything, I went back and checked. I'm like, yeah, this was the Joss Whedon show. And I was actually pretty, pretty disappointed. All in all.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, the description is the Nevers is described as an epic science fiction drama about a gang of Victorian women who find themselves with unusual abilities, relentless enemies, and a mission that might change the world. So, yeah, I don't know. I'll watch episode 2, but I just...
Yeah.
And I believe I sent you a message about them.
Yeah, it threw me off at first because we'd been talking about the Nevers, and we were like, you know...
Oh, yeah.
We're like, do we want to watch it? Yeah, we can watch it. Yeah, we get the bandwidth. Okay, let's watch it. And then your next message was, I want to like them, but I don't know if I can. And I'm like,
yeah, I want to like them, but it's not letting me.
Yeah. And I was like, is he talking about the Nevers? No, he's talking about them, the show Them.
So what did you think about them?
I think that it is very reminiscent of Lovecraft's Country in some ways. mixed with...
with the racial overtones.
Yeah, mixed
and
with...
and takes place in the 50s or 60s, yep.
Yep, yep. And, yep. And the slightly supernatural elements.
Yep.
Little bit of Us in there or Get Out.
Get Out, yeah. That Us or Get Out, yep.
Yep. Because there's some weird camera work, some weird supernatural stuff that, I mean, yeah, it felt repetitive to me just because I've seen this kind of thing multiple times already. You know, watching the PTA sit outside of their house playing their radios.
Yep.
Okay, you're trying to torture them. Isn't that just as much torture for you?
You
like, honestly, you're sitting on asphalt in the hot sun and you're all playing the exact same song on the radio. That would be torture for me.
Yeah, and annoying. Yep. Same. Yep. They just sit around drinking, smoking, whatever.
Yeah. Allison Pill's character seems very, very determined to get rid of them. Like almost insanely so.
The house is either haunted or the spirits followed them to the house, or I don't know. The first two episodes felt like it's just one, two big long episodes of setup with no payoff yet.
Right.
And when the payoff finally comes, it needs to be damn good or it's going to be quite depressing.
Yeah. Already it has the trappings of depressing.
It already has the trappings of it's going to suck. You know?
Yeah, definitely.
You know, the first two episodes are directed by the same guy. Episode three is directed by a different person. So maybe that we'll see some like mood changes, if you will, or just. Yeah. So we'll see what happens.
Yeah, I honestly like. If I just like with the other one, I'll watch another episode, but I can easily see myself falling off this one. It's not holding my attention.
Same with the Never
Country. Yeah, Lovecraft Country did because it really had some awesome underlying magic and supernatural stuff. This one seems to have some supernatural, but it's so thin that I don't know if I really care. Like that whole thing in the very beginning with the crazy hillbilly woman who was like, "Give me your boy. I want your boy." And apparently got the boy because there's no son there and you
we
know.
Find out like when the kid's dead somehow.
Yeah.
He died.
Yeah.
But we haven't been told how. So
and is it that he's dead or is it that, you know, the hillbillies took him and mom said, "Yeah, your brother died."
Yeah, exactly. So we'll see, I guess.
Yeah.
We'll see how that plays out.
Yes, we will.
So all we got left is the Falcon and the Winter Soldier.
Yep.
So we'll skip over that and we'll jump into movies. I watched a few movies this week.
I watched two movies this week.
I watched three and a half because I started watching one today. And I'm going to finish it after we get done.
Okay.
Well, I started watching it earlier because I'm by myself, so I can. The one I watched, The Raid Redemption last night. The Eco UA's vehicle, written and directed by Garth Evans.
Uh-huh.
Martial arts flick, very violent. I friggin' love it. And I have the sequel, The Raid 2. And I swear to God, when this came out, which was only 6 years ago, 7 years ago now, I watched this movie. And there were so many great scenes from The Raid Redemption that I remembered while watching the movie. Mm-hmm. Watching this one, I don't remember anything. It's like, did I rent it and not get around to watching it? Or have I just never gotten around to watching it?
Yeah.
Or did I start watching it and fall asleep, but I didn't finish it? I don't, because there's like very little I remember from this movie as I'm watching it.
Interesting.
Yeah, which is exciting because I felt like I'd always seen it, but I guess I never really thought about it until now that, oh, maybe I've not seen this movie.
Right.
I don't know because, well, all right. Actually, I did watch another movie I forgot. I watched the movie Downtown.
Okay.
This stars Anthony Edwards and Forest Whitaker. A Philadelphia police officer that works in the upper class of the Philadelphia police, like in the, not the suburbs, but he works in the Ritchie district. That's where he works. And then
where some rich, lives.
Yeah, basically. And then he pulls over some rich guy and whose father used to be a police officer, but of course he turns out to be a scumbag. And, basically this rich guy lies about everything, gets his wife and his security guard to also sign affidavits lying on his behalf. And Anthony Edwards gets put under investigation and busted down to the downtown precinct, ooh, which is like still in Philadelphia, but like no one wants to go there. It's basically like, you know, the everyone there is black or Latino that works there. And they have the very stereotypical over the top loud screaming captain, which is hilarious. This movie came out in 1990. So 30 years ago, I watched it a ton. I think on HBO back in the day when it was first on, I think my brother and I taped it. And we watched it a bunch of times. It's not on DVD, never released on DVD here in the US. It's released in region 2. So I actually bought a VHS copy off eBay for $2 and I watched it. And I remembered everything about this movie, not immediately, but like as I'm watching, I remember that line. Oh, and then, or I would say the line before the captain said it, you know, things like after he shoots a guy that's a superior and who's a crooked cop. And then the guy's body falls down in front of him. The captain goes, see, I have a problem with authority. You know what I mean? Or like his car gets shot and he's like, that's my fucking car. Like, it's just stupid, cheesy one-liners, but I loved every second of it. And it was, I'm not going to say it was nostalgic. It was just, it was nice. It's a very underappreciated movie, I feel.
Okay.
Yeah. What was one of the movies you watched?
I saw that HBO Max now had The New Mutants.
Oh, what'd you think of that?
That was a movie.
And you watched it.
I sure did.
That's how I felt about that movie.
Oh, God. So this movie, this was infamous for being delayed, undelayed, delayed again, switching movie theater or movie productions. This was in hell for the longest time. It actually changed at one point. You know, it was supposed to be more horror, and then it changed to more whatever the fuck it was this time. So bottom line is that this movie could have been done so much better in so many different ways. Like there are so many things they could have done with this. They had the group session right near the beginning where they, where she was like, okay, so today let's talk about the first time that our powers manifested. That would have been a good opportunity to get all that out of the way. Instead, they dragged it out throughout the entire movie and made sure that it only happened in little one-on-one encounters where people were like being all teen angsty, you know, oh, so what happened was like the priest said that, you know, I was a witch and blah, blah, blah. It was just stupid. The way that they did it like was stupid. They could have done it in the beginning. They could have gotten it all out there and it would have given us more background and more understanding of these characters. As it was, half of them, we didn't even know what their powers were until 3/4 of the way through the movie. It felt very jumbled, very slapped together. It didn't impress me. Like I was not impressed by this at all. I didn't hate it, but I was like, yep, I've watched this. I never have to watch it again. Thank goodness.
Did you recognize while you were watching it that was Anna Taylor-Joy played the Rasputin character in it?
Anya Taylor-Joy.
Anya, yeah, sorry. And she was in The Queen's Gambit as Beth Harmon? Yes.
Yep. Yeah, I did recognize that.
Cool. Hey, remember that movie Spontaneous, that trailer we saw about the kids in high school that just spontaneously explode?
Yeah.
That is on Amazon Prime.
Okay.
I haven't watched it, but it's in my list. Just wanted to throw that out there.
Okay.
Because we both kind of seem interested in it.
Yeah.
I watched a documentary on Hulu called The Orange Years.
Oh, yeah. I've seen that. I haven't watched the thing, but I know of it.
Yeah. It is excellent.
Is it?
Yep. Absolutely excellent. But the rise of Nickelodeon from when I first started out as Cubo, all the way up through almost to kind of current, if you will. And there were some very great nostalgic moments for me because I grew up with Nickelodeon. A good chunk of my youth and teens, early teens, were spent watching Nickelodeon. There were some parts I couldn't relate to because, like Blue's Clues, when they talked about that heavily, I'm familiar with it, but I never really watched the show because I didn't have a reason to. Even my kids were never into Blue's Clues. But yeah, it's excellent. It's very good. It's cool seeing the cast members or some of the cast members from like, Hey Dude, You Can't Do That on Television, Salute Your Shorts, and other shows like that on, as adults now.
Okay.
Talking That's about cool. those shows and the effect that they had on the network. And, you know, Mark Summers talking about Double Dare and Legend of the Tentacles and Nick Arcade and, you know, just all that stuff, just how the network grew. It was really fascinating, really cool. They talked about Nickelodeon Studios down at Universal Studios and Universal Studios Orlando and how that really helped the network as well. And
nice.
Yeah. And the other movie I watched was Nobody.
That I also watched, thanks to your timely intervention.
My voodoo sign-in, yes.
Yes.
So, cousin Paul and I, Saturday night, he was like, hey, you want to watch a movie or something? I'm like, sure. And he's like, do you want to see if anything's playing at Smitty's you want to go see? And I was like, I don't know about that. So I kind of looked, and nobody was playing. I was like, actually, I do want to see that movie. And he'd been to Smitty's with his family, and like they really do space everybody out. And he felt comfortable, and on and on and on. It was like $10 a ticket, so it'd be like $22 to go to the theater with the fees. And then I looked, and I was like, well, is that one of those home video releases? And sure enough, $20 for the home theater release, $19.99. So I told him, I was like, well, do you want to watch it at Smitty's? Just want to watch it at my house. He's like, well, no one's at your house besides you. Let's watch it there. Yeah. And so I actually feel like I even more got my money's worth because, you know, you watched it. Kanan watched it because he has my voodoo, of course, because he's my son. Yep. He loved it. What'd you think of the movie?
I thought it was exactly what I thought it was going to be.
Same here. Yep.
Which was enjoyable for me. You know, this was not a deep thinking movie. This was not in any way, shape, or form a mystery. Like, it was predictable. It was not generic, but it was exactly what it was going to be. It was a John
Wick
like type movie.
The black comedy version of John Wick.
Yep.
Yep.
Yep. Even down to the cat at the end there, you know.
Yep.
It was good. I enjoyed it for what it was. I would definitely give it a sell. Don't know if I'd watch it again. I mean, I probably would. I wouldn't hesitate to, but, you know, something that I'm going to go out of my way to watch it again.
No, but like if I was like a year from now, it's on Netflix or Hulu or Prime or whatever, any of those channels.
Right.
I'd be like, oh, that'd be a movie I'd rewatch, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. Some good kills in it. As my little narrative I have here from my blog is, really fun, really violent comedy about a guy trying to live a normal life, but of course his past sneaks up on him and sneaks up on him. And again, to violent and hilarious consequences.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, Christopher Lloyd's in it.
Yeah, well, surprisingly, quite a bit. Yeah,
I know, right? As his pops, his dad. Well, he calls him Pops. I don't know if it's his actual dad or just, yeah.
But yeah, still. He keeps calling him Pops. I wondered that as well, but.
Well, yeah, but the other guy, like his other friend, he said, you know, they went after Pops. And he said, yeah, who do you think helped Pops clean up the mess? So it could be one of those things where everyone calls him Pops, even though it's his dad or not. You know, it doesn't really matter. It's still good. It's just good.
Right.
Yeah.
Yep.
Did you watch the PS scene?
Yes, I did. Yeah.
Midway through.
Why can't we just fly there?
Yeah.
Really? With all this cargo?
So, but yeah, I would definitely give it a recommend. I don't know if I'd say don't pay $20 to watch it on your own, but like,
no,
you know, definitely give it a recommend.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Yep.
Trailers.
Trailers. So I sent you four. You sent me one.
Yep. My one was the Marvel release, the trailer for Shang-Chi.
Yeah.
What'd you think of that? well, it wasn't, it didn't feel very Marvel-ish.
No, no. It felt, you know? If you didn't know that it was a Marvel movie, you would think that it was a Asian Kung Fu movie.
Yes. Yeah, but that it just it, but yeah, but the whole thing, it just didn't feel, and this is going to be unique from what I can gather because they're introducing a new character.
Mm-hmm.
And wasn't the Mandarin one of his enemies?
Yes.
Okay, so I wonder if we're going to see the Mandarin or not. But they're interesting, and in, you know, they're introducing a new character that, as far as mainstream people know, has nothing to do with any of the other characters we've seen. So far in the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
Right.
You know, which was true with Guardians of the Galaxy. Mm-hmm. But of course they crossed over in and that was a fun space movie as well. But yeah, no, this just definitely it looks good. I'm definitely going to watch the hell out of it when it comes out, but
yep.
It doesn't feel very Marvel-ish. You know, it felt like more like a Netflix series. No, I'm kidding.
Iron Fist.
Yeah, I'm interested to see it. I'm interested.
Yeah.
You sent trailers.
The first one that I sent you was The Hitman's Wife's Bodyguard.
Absolutely going to watch that one. Oh, man. No doubt about it. Yeah. Sami Hayek as
stressed and he needs to take a vacation. And yeah. Yep. Sami Hayek is the wife who says, yep, they've kidnapped my husband. We need to go get him. Oh, it's going to be good.
Oh, yeah, it's going to be. Yeah, yeah, absolutely it is.
They released a full trailer for Zack Snyder's Army of the Dead.
All right. So I know that we're not Zack Snyder fans per se.
Correct.
But I'm going to check this one out.
I am as well. Yep. It helps that it's on Netflix. So, you know. But yeah, it was definitely interesting. Like, it's one of those trailers where the first half seems to be one thing, the second half seems to be another. So the first half is they're gearing up because they're pulled together to do a heist.
Yep.
You know, the guy's like, hey, there's this stuff here and I want you to go get it. And, you know, here's the crew. And you're like, all right. Yeah, we got it. Then you find out that the place that they're going is surrounded by zombies. And not just regular zombies, but actually like intelligent zombies that have kind of formed an army and have zombie tigers and they're kind of coordinated. So that was an interesting part of it.
Oh, yep. No, it looks good. I like Batista in movies now. So,
yep. Yeah.
Excuse me. What was the other trailers you sent? Two more. One was for
Resident Evil Infinite Darkness, which is the animated Resident Evil that's based on the games.
Yep.
Got some of the voice actors from the games, the recent remakes of the games, to come back. Cool. That's going to be great. I'm in love with that already.
Yeah, that one looked good.
And then today we got a surprise one, which was the trailer for Season 2 of Love, Death, and Robots coming in May. I'm excited about that. I know we both like that quite a bit. It was one of those that was an anthology. You know, it was multiple different episodes. Different people had different orders that the episodes came on.
Remember that? Yes, that was unique. Except the final episode was always the final episode, I think. Right. Right?
Yeah. Yep. And I remember that we kind of watched them all like it was a movie. You know, we just sat down and watched the whole thing because there was a possibility we'd be watching different episodes than each other.
Yes.
And there were some hits and some misses from what I remember.
Yes, there were. And each episode was only what, 8 to 15 minutes, depending on the episode.
Yeah.
Or eight, six. I think one was as short as 6 minutes.
Yep.
6 to 17 minutes in length were the varying lengths of the episode. So,
right.
I enjoyed it. I thought it was really good. And it's going to be 2 years now since we got the first season. So I kind of had almost forgotten about it.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, it was a surprise to me. I was just like, holy crap, look at that. so I enjoy that. I sent the trailer to a friend of mine. She was like, what is this? I've never heard it. It says there's a season one out there. I'm like, you never watched it. What the hell? You need to go watch season one now.
And then the last trailer. Oh, that was the last trailer. Yeah,
that was the last trailer, sir.
Well, I guess all we have to talk about then. Oh, apparently a third season is coming out in 2022.
Oh, nice.
So all we got left is Falcon and the Winter Soldier. So unless you want to hear about spoilers of that, you probably should get going.
Anyone still here? Anyone?
I am.
Are you here? I'm here. Are you here?
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah. Oh, remind me when we're done recording to tell you a hilarious story that is a true story that you're not going to fucking believe is a true story.
Oh, excellent. I'm already excited for this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's definitely an off-air story, though.
Okay.
If anyone really wants to hear it, you can private message me on the Twitter. I'm Superstar Mel. Anyhow, so episode 5, Truth. So, you know, it opens with a big fucking fight between Bucky and Sam against John Walker. A super soldier, yep. John Walker.
Yep.
And it's a fight. You know, yep. I mean, it's a big fight and Walker is strong. And in the comics, John Walker, when he took the super soldier serum, he became incredibly strong, stronger than Captain America was. Even though Cap beat him up in a fight eventually. But he rips the wings off of Sam's wingsuit yep. there, which that was shocking. And they break his arm. Yep. Getting the shield from him because they want to get the shield. And then Bucky kind of leaves him with the shield. It's like, fuck it. So.
Yeah. My thoughts on this were we had that big fight in the opening scene.
Yep.
And then the rest of the episode kind of dragged.
It did. It really did drag.
This was a story based. This was a filler. Yep. We got a little bit of, foreshadowing where, I can't even think of his name, but the guy who was Sam's contact, you know, in the armed services.
Yeah, him. I know who you're talking about.
Pointing to the wings, and he's like, you know, what happened here? And he's like, hey, you forgot the wings. He's like, keep them.
Yeah.
You know, so in the comics, that guy was Red Wing at one point.
Okay.
He had the same kind of tech, but he had it, like, integrated into his body, like the cybernetics were part of him.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so.
Well, after the big fight and that, then we see Barnes goes and tracks down Zemo, and then he shoots him, but there's no bullets in the gun after he does one of his things. And then the Dormala come to pick him up, and Zemo hands him his book and says, I took the liberty of crossing my name off,
mm-hmm.
which I thought was great. Bucky asks them for one more favor. And then we see Walker getting his other than honorable discharge, and he was stripped of his title of Captain America, to which he still says, like, but I am Captain America, you know?
Yeah.
And they're like, and he's like, just let me explain. They're like, there's nothing for you to explain. Like, it's like he doesn't think he did anything wrong.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, he's a little mentally unstable from yep. the looks of it. You know, he really presents that way.
We see Julia Louis-Dreyfus.
Oh, yeah. This was the one that they had been hinting at, the yep. big cameo that they were talking about that was coming.
Valentina Allegra de Fontaine.
Also known in the comics as Lady Hydra. Or, sorry, yep. Madame Hydra.
Madame Hydra, yeah. So she shows up and basically says, hey, you want to go to work? I got some work for you. Here's my business card, and there was nothing on it.
Yep. Oh, it was, like, her whole speech was so villainy, it was great. She's like, what did she tell him? Taking the serum was the second smartest decision you ever made. First, yep. being tied with marrying this firecracker over here that I'm sitting next to. It's when yep. you picked up the phone when I called you. Talk to you yep. later.
Yeah, exactly. Like, and also just basically saying, like, and sympathizing with him and making him feel like she's on his side when army officers were on his side, and really manipulative.
Yep.
Really, really manipulative. And he's going to fall for it.
Of course he is.
Torres. That was the guy's name. Torres. Wilson's buddy. Yep.
Yep.
Wilson goes and visits Bradley. And basically, Bradley is just like, they have a long talk, a lot of talk about race, this and that, what happened to him, on and on and on. They talk about Captain America. And basically, Bradley says that a black man cannot, should not, and if he had any self-respect, would not be Captain America.
Yep.
That was the whole nuts and bolts of that. Sam goes home to his sister to help fix up the family boat so they can sell it. And then she's like, we can't sell this. And so they're still working on it and putting a new engine in it. Bucky shows up and helps him. And they finally have a great bonding moments with each other. And you know, Sam's training with the shield and Bucky's helping him. And, you know, they're going to move on from their past. They're going to work together. You know, Bucky's got a, you know, if he really wants to move on from what happened as a Winter Soldier, he can't just, you know, stopping the people that he put into power. There's got to be somebody he owes a real apology to, someone, because everyone he's stopping, they knows why they know why he's there and they know why they're in power because of him. Basically, he's got to go apologize to the guy that he befriended that we met earlier in the season, right. whose innocent son he killed, who was in the wrong place at the wrong time.
Yep.
That's what it comes down to. Bucky delivers Sam a briefcase from the Wakandans, but we don't see what's inside. And it's assumed it's a wingsuit, but who knows what it is.
I'm assuming it's a wingsuit as well.
Me too. Probably based on the size of the case.
Yeah.
But we didn't get to see it. We just saw him look in it.
Right.
We see a big training montage of him with a shield.
Yep.
We see the Flag Smashers plan to attack the GRC conference in New York, and Batroc's there with them, who just wants to kill Sam. That's why he's there. He wants to kill Falcon.
So, he's been wronged and he wants to fuck him up.
The mid-credits scene we get is John Walker building a new shield from scrap metal and his war medallions.
Yeah. How do you think that's going to go?
I don't remember Walker doing that in the comics, but I don't know if he's going to become U.S. agent in the episode, in the show.
Seems more like he's going to go down the Hydra path.
Yep, it does. So what do you think is going to happen in episode 6? We have one episode left. It airs this Friday. Are we going to see what happened in the comics where Steve comes back to take the shield and become Captain America again? Are we going to see Sam become Captain America?
Maybe.
Are we going to see Bucky become Captain America?
No.
Who's going to become Captain America?
Nobody.
You think they're going to just retire Captain America altogether?
I think that the U.S. government is embarrassed now by what they did. And I think that Sam still doesn't want the shield. And I mean, he's been practicing with it and everything, but,
red herring.
Yeah. I think Bucky won't take it. And I think that basically Sam's going to get on his high horse and say, you know, there doesn't need to be a Captain America, kind of like what's his name there was saying to him. You know, there should be a black man who's proud to be Captain America. And I think that he's going to say, you know, Captain America should be an ideal, not a man. And by that,
unless it's Steve Rogers.
Right. Right.
He can be Captain America.
Yep. So that's my thought, but we'll see. I think we will see John turn full villain.
Yeah.
Which is good. You know, introduce.
Yeah, but if they stop him in this episode, if in episode 6 he turns full villain and is stopped, then what's it matter? It's only if it carries over to the movies, you know?
Right.
I don't know. We'll see what happens. See what happens. How old is Chris Evans anyways?
Oh. Old enough?
Let's see here. He's only 39. He's fucking younger than I am, for crying out loud. He can still be Captain America.
He can, yeah.
It's not like he's in his 50s, you know, Wolverine style.
Right.
I'm actually shocked that he's 39. I thought he was older, but yeah. It is what it is. But that's it for me. Anything else from you, on this episode you want to touch on?
No, that was it. Like I said, very light news week, very light everything week.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nothing wrong with that, though.
No, not at all.
Well, I said it earlier. I'll say it again. I'm Superstar Mel on the Twitter.
I am the Quantum Geek, G33K.
That is the show.
We'll talk to you next week. Later.